All right, well, praise God. Let's get into the Word of God. Today, we are on our last message of family vacation. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. I know for me, it's been a blessing, and it's really convicted me, believe it or not, it's convicted me about our family and how we do life together. Now, today, what I want to talk about is something that hasn't been talked about in a very long time. And the reality is that our society is paying a good price because this one thing hasn't been practiced quite like it used to be practiced at one time. And that's something called family altar. I don't know if you've ever heard this term, family altar, but I'd like to explain a little bit about what this is. This is time when your family, not your church family, but rather your household, comes together acknowledging that there are things that they cannot do on their own. And because they are acknowledging that, they say, well, we need God to intervene on behalf of our family. And family altar is when we pray, is when we take time to read scripture together. It's time when we come and study the Word of God and we learn more about God, not as a church, but as a family, as a family. Now, by the grace of God, this is a practice that our family, a couple years back, we said we need to get right back to this. We need to get back to family altar and family devotions. And for some time now, by the grace of God, we've been doing this as a family. And I asked my youngest son, Jathaniel, if he would talk to us just a little bit about what family devotions looks like, just so that you are hopefully encouraged and have some idea of what might happen. So if we've got that video, let's roll the tape on that.
We usually talk about God, we sing about God, we pray, we have time with our family instead of doing all these stuff like playing video games, and yeah. Yes, I enjoy being with my brothers and sisters. When you pray, I like that, and yeah, I pray with them. I pray with you, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you have time away from, again, all your video games and spending more time with your family and talking about God, and you learn more about God.
So that's just after we did the video, he said, "Dad, why did you do it so close up?" But I wanted to share that with you to hopefully encourage you to see that this is something that is done. It is something that can impact a child. And it's something, by the way, that you don't have to be a ministry family to do. This is something that you can do with your family. It's really not that difficult. And later on, we're going to really dive deeper and figure out how we can do some of these things with our families. Family devotions, family altar are so important. They're so vital. It makes a difference in a child's life. Just like you heard my son say there, it takes us away from the day-to-day, which many times for children includes video games, TV, internet. And he says, this is a good time to get away from that and do some things that will benefit me spiritually. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to life and when it comes to parenting, there are three areas that as parents we really take care of. There's three things that we need to provide for our family. First of all, the spiritual development of our children is first and foremost. That is something that God calls us to do. That's the first thing. We have to provide an environment where our children learn the Word of God, an environment where our children learn to pray, and albeit I'll agree with you, it's not the easiest thing in the world. In fact, when we first started family devotions in our home, I'll tell you that our kids had a hard time with it. They were like, oh, Dad, oh, my gosh. And before I even spoke to my children, I needed to have a conversation with my spouse and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Can we do this? Because I think this would be a benefit. And of course, she said, yes, absolutely. We want to do this. We need to do this for our family. So we got to the place where we agreed. And then when we agreed, we brought it to the children. Was it hard? Yes. But we set a time. And we set a day every week where we would get together, and we said every weekday, every specific day, we do Thursdays, but every Thursday at this time we're going to get together. We set them up and we said it's going to happen every Thursday. Now, of course, at that time on Thursdays, no one was anywhere to be found, right? I don't know, they were hiding under beds and doing all kind of crazy stuff. Listen, my kids are just as spiritual as your kids, okay? Don't let me fool you. But the reality is that they were just everywhere, and we had to pull them out to say, hey, we're going to do family devos. And we, at the very beginning, it was difficult, but over time, it became easier. And actually, over time, they started expecting it and waiting for it and expecting that we would have our family devotions. Now, if you have younger children, now is the time to start. You want to get them started as early as possible. If your children are a little older, you should still get them started. If your children are adults, you could recommend it at that point. But you need to start somewhere. You need to start somewhere. But spiritually, we are responsible for their development. We're also responsible for socially being able to help our children out. So socially, making sure that they are good citizens, that they grow up to be people that are productive in life, not lazy, not waiting to be handed things, but rather productive members of society. So we need to make sure that socially we're helping them develop. And socially we also need to make sure that other people are not taking advantage of them. And this is important, that spiritually we're caring for them. Socially we're caring for them. We're teaching them how to interact with society, how to respect their bosses, right? And by the way, sometimes the way we teach them how to respect their boss is by maybe respecting our bosses ourselves, and we need to teach them those kinds of things socially and even economically. We need to teach them how do you manage your money? How do you make sure that you have? And we need to also be able to provide for their needs. We can't always provide for their wants, but we can certainly be there for their needs as much as possible. So we need to make sure that we're providing in these three areas, but the area that I think we need to speak about and talk about here more than any other area, because I believe it's the most important area, is the spiritual development of our children. Spiritual development. In fact, I believe that if you set the foundation with the spiritual development of your children, the rest of it, the social, will in some ways take care of itself. But you'll have that biblical foundation. And then even after that, the economical development of your children can be based on Scripture, can also have a foundation of Scripture. So this is important to know. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor Rob, I'm not there. I don't have little kids anymore. You know, they're a little older. Well, I don't want you to miss out on what I'm sharing with you either, because the reality is that, Lord willing, you will have some grandchildren, and you want to be there to teach your children what they need to do. And you need to tell your children, listen, you need to care for my grandbaby. And you need to make sure that spiritually they're taken care of, because God will hold you accountable for that. You need to make sure that socially my grandbabies are taken care of, because I want them to be productive adults. Grandparents, it's okay for your grandchildren to work, okay? Just want to put it out there. I know that they're your babies and you could never imagine them having to answer to a boss, but one day they're going to have to. And then economically, you want to make sure that that foundation is there as well as a grandparent. And it's good for you to know this so that you can share this then with your children, your adult children. Let's go to what the Scripture says, because I think that's a little more important than whatever I have to say. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And this is what the Lord wrote through Moses for the people of Israel. This is now a new generation in Israel that's up and coming. And this is what the Lord says. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Can you say on your heart? These words that I'm about to command you shall be on your heart. On your heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You get the idea that God has this impression that his word matters and that his word is important. And God is saying, "I want you to have this word on your heart. I want you to teach it to your children diligently," by the way. He says diligently, and we'll unpack that in just a moment. But he says diligently, "I want you to share my word with them. Then I want you to have it everywhere. I want you to have it on your hand. I want you to have it as frontlets in between your eyes. I want you to put it up on the doorpost." Like, God is basically saying, my word matters. And you are the one that needs to communicate my word to your children. That's a heavy responsibility. That's a heavy responsibility. So if you're young and you don't have children yet, you might want to think about this before you have children, because you will be held accountable for this. Let me make it very simple. I'm going to give you my entire sermon right up front. This is it. When it comes to the Word of God, we must learn it, teach it, and live it. When it comes to the Word of God, we must learn it, we must teach it, and we must live it. Let's go to the learn it part, because this is the part where we trip up. Some of us say things like, I never did really well in school, and believe me, I never did all that well in school. I don't know how I never got left back for any reason. I guess there was just a lot of mercy on the side of my teachers, but I, by the grace of God, always seem to make it through. But nevertheless, that doesn't mean I'm a great student. And some of you that know me for a while, you're probably saying, yeah, and we can tell. Learn it. When it comes to learning, some of us say, well, it's just difficult for me to learn things. It's just difficult for me to really grasp things. And let me tell you, you're not alone. You're not alone in that. In the fact that learning isn't always easy, learning can be difficult. Personally, I've never been diagnosed as someone who has dyslexia, but I do think that every so often words kind of do mix up. In fact, I was watching a little kid's video one time, and the video said, "the next thing." I saw the video clearly, and I read it. It said, "the next thing." I happened to look away, look back, and all of a sudden, I see it says, "the next night." And I freaked out, because if you think about it, thing and night are the same letters, but mixed around. It freaked me out a little bit. So sometimes in reading, I really need to focus in. And you know that I have several children, to say the least. And my house is, there's this thing that some of you have in your house. What's that called? Silence. Yeah, you have that in your house. We don't have that in my house. It hasn't existed for, I don't know, for the longest time. Forgot kind of what it feels like to be in a place where I can only hear myself. And I've had to come up with strategies to try to read so that I can focus in. So learning, lest you think it comes easy to me and you'd never be able to learn what Pastor Robert knows, let me tell you something. The reality is that you can learn this stuff. And I wanna be sure to take some of the stress out here. As a parent and as a Christian, I want to take some stress off. When it comes to learning the Word of God, I want you to know this, that we don't all have to be scholars, but we must all be students. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to know some deep, deep truths. But you need to be a student. Maybe not committed to scholarship, although that would be great if you can be and want to be. But all I'm asking is that you be committed to studentship. That you say, I can't be a scholar, but I can be a student. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says this. He says, do your best. Do your best. Timothy, don't do someone else's best. Don't do a scholar's best. Don't do Paul's best. Timothy, you do your best. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble. Hashtag Netflix. Hashtag HBO Max. Hashtag the news media. Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. What is he saying? He's saying, Timothy, you do your best in handling God's word. So let me take that pressure off right now. I don't want a church that's filled with scholars, biblical scholars. I'm going to go on record saying it. I don't want a church that's filled with scholars because I won't be able to preach to you anymore. But I do want a church that has and it's filled with students of the Word of God. People that don't know it all, but people that are learning it, that are saying, I need to let this get inside of me. And especially if you're a parent, you need to learn this because God expects you to teach it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through 9. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So, by the way, did you know that learning and studying scripture, it's part of loving God. There are Christians that say, I don't really study the Bible because I just have a relationship with God. I just love God. And loving God is good, but did you realize that loving God also means wanting to know more about Him? That it also means I love your word, God. If I truly, genuinely love the Lord, then I will love His word. And I will love Him and everything that has to do with Him. I would want to learn more. It starts right there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be what? On your heart. The word of God needs to be on our hearts. On your heart. Jesus, quoting Deuteronomy, he says the same verse, but he adds something. He says, and he answered, this is Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then he goes, and with all your mind. Jesus adds something. Jesus has a way of just elevating, right, scripture. And he says, I don't just want you to love me with your heart. I don't just want you to love me with your soul and your strength, but I also want you to love me with your mind. Intellectually, there are some things that we do need to know. God wants you to know His word, but it's not just a head knowledge. He doesn't just want you to know His word as head knowledge. He wants you to know it as your full being, to have an understanding of His word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. When it comes to the heart, the heart is your center point. Like, this is all of you. And in a Jewish mindset, to know something with all your heart meant to know it with your whole being. It meant all of you, all of who you are. So God is saying, you love me with everything inside of you. You love me with all of you. I don't just want a piece of you. I don't just want a little bit of you. I want all of you. I don't even want 99% of you. I want all of you. And when it comes to His Word, it all starts with loving God. The psalmist wrote this. He says, I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He says, I took your word and I stored it. I stored it on the inside of me. I stored it. I took it. I ate it up. I stored it inside of me. Why? Because I just didn't want to sin against you. Because I wanted to know your word. I wanted to be reassured of your word. Later on, he says things like, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What is he saying? He's saying, I can't even walk. I can't even live. I can't even breathe without your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I can't go on without your word. I don't even know where to go without your word. So parents, when it comes to the word of God, you need to learn it. But not just learn it intellectually, although that would be a great start. But learn it with your heart, with your whole being. I've seen people that know a whole lot of word up here, but have not allowed that word that's here come down here. I've seen a lot of people that have said, you know what, I have a lot of word here on the top of my head. I got it there, but I haven't let it affect who I am. We must let it affect who we are. But not only do we learn it, we teach it. We teach it. Look at what he says back in Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord with all your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then he says, you shall teach them. So teach my word to your children diligently. Diligently. You've got to be diligent about teaching the Word of God. And by the way, this is not a suggestion. This is a command from God. This is what God is ordering us to do. He's saying, you teach them diligently. That word diligently there in the original means to inculcate. It means to teach by repetition. 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 See how that works? Your children need to learn this. And is it a task for a parent to teach by repetition? Yes. How many times have I had to tell you? How many times do I have to tell you? A lot. A lot of times. A lot of times. We inculcate this to our children. We give it to them over and over and over again. That is the expectation. And let me tell you something. Lest you think, oh man, that's abusive. That's abusive. Repetition? Well, you have had little children and they have watched movies. How many times have they watched their favorite movie? Over and over again. You may not have small children, but I do now. And on YouTube, I can watch the same episode of the same YouTuber over and over again. Your children, if you're not teaching them something by repetition, guess what? The world will teach them things by repetition. And you might say, well, this is brainwashing. Yes, it's being washed by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. Yes. I'd rather give God's word to my children by repetition than all the junk that's out there for our children. You might say, well, I can't do that all the time. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. Look at what he says. Talk of them when you sit in your house. If you're sitting at home, he says, talk to them about the word of God. He goes further. And when you walk, by the way. So if you're sitting at home, you're talking about the word of God. If you go out for a walk with your children, what do? You talk about the word of God. He goes further. He says, when you lie down, you get ready to lie down, you're talking Jesus and you're telling them the truths of scripture. When you lie down, and how about in the morning when you rise? He says, yes, in the morning also when you rise. You get this impression that God wants us to talk about his word consistently with our children. He says, you do it all the time as you're walking, as you're lying down, as you're rising up, all the time. You're giving them the word of God. By the way, as you're giving them the word of God, what do you think is happening in your own life and in your own mind? Do you think you're learning something? Absolutely. The best ways to learn sometimes is to teach others. So here you have an opportunity to learn something and you have an opportunity to repeat it. And this is where it gets good. Because here's the thing, that no matter where you are on your journey as a parent, no matter where you're at, you can, in fact, continue to learn the word of God. You can, in fact, continue to teach the word of God to your children. Every opportunity you get. Now, some of us might have to get a little creative and maybe rephrase it in other ways so that they don't realize that we're saying the same thing in other words. But we may have to do whatever it takes. But we do continue to teach the word of God. Mom, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, especially I was reading today in the Psalms, for example. Dad, how's it going? How's your day gone? Oh, it's great. Look at what I just learned in the book of Proverbs. See, you can be creative. And moms, you're really good at this. Dads, I know you're good at this too. This is what Paul tells Timothy about teaching the word of God. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. As believers, this is what we do. We devote ourselves to learning. We devote ourselves to teaching. We take it consistently. But you don't want to miss the third part. And this is probably the most important part, I think. You live it. You learn it. You teach it. You live it. The word of God, what do I do with it? I learn it, I teach it, I live it. What do you do with the word of God? I learn it, I teach it, and I live it. And you can do this as well. In fact, I think this is probably where we mess it up. I've seen people that have learned it. I have seen people that have taught it. And when they fail is because they didn't live it out. I've seen people that have gotten really obsessed with some nuance of scripture, and they really went down to this detail, and man, they got the detail. And not only did they get the detail, but they taught the detail. But then they're horrible spouses. They're horrible parents. They're horrible employees, and they don't actually live out all the truths of scripture. Listen, I'd rather you know less scripture and live out the scripture that you know well than know a lot of scripture and not live it out at all. It'd be better for Christianity if the simple things, you know, obedience, heard of that one? That one's pretty simple to understand, to grasp your head around obedience. God tells me to do something, I do it. It's easy to grasp that. So hey, what a novel idea. How about I do that? How about God doesn't want me to do certain things? Let me see. And maybe if I obeyed God, I wonder what would happen if I obeyed him here. Live it. Live it. Live it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And when they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You know what he's really getting to here is that the word of God can't just be in you. It's got to be on you. I'll say that again. The word of God can't just be in us. It's got to be on us. Jesus would say it this way. He would say, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, he says to you, he says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He says, live it. Let people see Christ in you. Don't let the word of God simply live on the inside of you, but let it be evident that it's on you, that this is on your hand, that this is in between your eyes, that it is all there. You don't have to wear something specifically to show others. I had someone that attempted to insult me, and I took it as a high compliment, actually. I was, as some of you know, I worked at Apple, at the Apple store right here in Bridgewater for some time while we were starting the church, and I was actually, I don't want to brag, but I was a genius at Apple. At Apple. The moment I walked out of there, I wasn't. I used to work at the Genius Bar. I was one of those computer techs that, you know, talks way above you over here, although they don't really know what they're saying either. But I was one of those guys, and I worked at the Genius Bar at Apple. And I'll tell you, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, so I worked with someone there. I worked at the Apple store. And it just so happened that I visited another Apple store. And at that Apple store, people didn't know me, but there was someone that did know me at that Apple store and greeted me really nicely and served me, and we had a nice conversation and everything. So I walked away after our interaction, and Lisa, which wasn't with me, she came and she walked over. And when she walked over, the two employees were talking about me, and he's like, hey, who was that guy that you were talking to? And she goes, oh, his name is Rob. He's a nice guy. This is what she said, thinking that it wouldn't get back to me. She said, that's Rob. He's really nice, but he's too Jesus-y for me. He's too Jesus-y. Lisa was at the table where she was saying that I was too Jesus-y. So, of course, Lisa comes, and if you're watching this, Toby, I love you. But Lisa comes back to me, and she goes, you know what that girl said about you, right? And I said, what did she say? She says that you're nice, but you're too Jesus-y. And I said, that was an insult? I love it. I'm too Jesus-y. It was great to know that I was letting my light shine at work nonetheless. And let me tell you, at work, they see the good, the bad, the ugly. And I'm so glad that she got to see the Jesus, not just in me, but on me. Can people see Jesus on you? Are you Jesus-y? Because we should be Jesus-y. We need to let our light shine. I wasn't trying to let my light shine. I was just trying to live out what I know to be true, what I know to be what God's word would have me live. I wanted to do that. I like what Paul says. And man, I think that when you can get to this place in your spiritual journey, you've pretty much arrived. When you can say, like Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's a good place. And some of you, or some of us yet, we're saying, I'm not there yet. Because if you try to imitate me like you imitate Christ, there's going to be a whole lot of little to imitate there. But we need to get there. We need to let our light shine. And here's why we need to let our light shine. Because our children are watching. I'll say it again. I've said it throughout the series. More is caught than taught. You can teach all day long, but man, if you're living something different, then forget about it. Forget about it. We need to realize that our children are watching us like hawks. They're watching to see how we treat our spouses. They're watching us to see how we treat the person that works at the McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. They're watching us to see how we treat our employer. They're watching us to see how we talk about people. They're watching all of those things. And at the end of the day, they know exactly who you are. You can't fool them. They know exactly who you are. And how you're imitating Christ will be how they imitate Christ. So when it comes to the Word of God, it is so important that we learn it, that we teach it, and that we live it. But why? Why? As I was preparing this, I felt the Lord really press on my heart a very important truth. And that's this. You are a watchman for your family. You are a watchman for your family. Satan, and I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but Satan wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your family. Because if he can destroy your family, he will destroy this world. It's no wonder that Satan, his eyes are on the family. Look at the news right now. What is the greatest attack in our culture against? It's against the family unit. Two of the things that we praise in our country and in our culture, two things that we are praising continually are two things, homosexuality and abortion. And both of these things have one thing in common. Both are non-productive. You can't produce children in homosexuality, and you cannot produce children in abortion. And Satan is so hung up on making sure that we don't continue to produce. Not only that, he's after our children. So he wants to make sure that he destroys the minds of our children. And there is so much coming. I don't have to tell you what the news is. You know what the news is. There's so much coming attacking our children. And parents, you are the watchman. You have the responsibility before God to watch out for your children. You're thinking, what does a watchman do? I'm glad you asked. A watchman watches. And a watchman warns. When there's danger, the watchman is the one responsible to make sure that the people that are going to be attacked are alerted of the attack so that they can prepare for the attack. And as a parent, you should know that you are a watchman in your home. I just want to read this to you and we'll wrap it up here. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his head. So if you, the watchman, you sound the alarm, and those that you're trying to warn aren't listening, and something happens to them, their blood is on their head. And here's the thing, parents, let's just be honest. You can be the best parent in the world. And our children will be our children. Our children can make their own decisions regardless of what we've been teaching, regardless of what we teach them. So if your child makes a wrong decision, it's not entirely your fault. Don't blame yourself because they can make their own decisions. Here, we see someone that's not taking heed to the watchman's call. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But here's where you come in. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet. Now, this is the parent that sees that there's danger coming to their family, but they're not going to do anything. Because it's too difficult, because I don't know enough, because of whatever excuse you come up with. If you are not warning your family of coming trouble, if you're that watchman and you do not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. What is the word of God saying? If you fail to do your duty, the blood of your children is on your hands. If you fail to disciple your children, the blood of your children is on your hands. Not if they didn't listen, but if you didn't do what you were supposed to do. If you failed at teaching them the word of God, Then guess what? Then you failed. Their blood is on your hands. This is so key. And I do want this to convict us. I do want this to really face us and say, wait a minute, if I don't do my duty as a parent, will God hold me accountable? Yes. Again, not if they didn't listen, but if you fail to do your job. Here's the thing. We can't put on ourselves the responsibility of our children responding. That's not for us. That's on them. But we should put on ourselves the responsibility of making sure that we are sounding the alarm, that we are letting them know, that we are letting them know that there's danger coming. I mean, if your child was playing around in a train track and you knew the train was coming and you didn't say anything because you thought, oh, I'm just going to offend him. It's going to bother him. It's going to bother her. They're not going to want to hear me. Man, mom, dad, you know full well that if you saw your child in that kind of danger, you would do whatever you had to do. If you had to run and tackle them, if you had to yell at them so that no one could shut you out, you know that you would do it. We're living in some very, very serious times. And it's time that we as parents, we acknowledge that we're in a place where there's really not much more we can do. There's no much. We don't have time to fool around. We don't have time to wait till tomorrow. We don't have time for those things. We have to sound the alarm today. We will be held accountable by God. God will hold us accountable. God has given us children, but the reality is that ultimately they're not our children, they're His. And if we did not train them up in the way that they should go, the responsibility will fall upon us. So we need to learn the Word of God, we need to teach them the Word of God, and we need to live the Word of God. And by the way, it's not your pastor's responsibility to raise the spiritual temperature of your home. It's not my responsibility. It's not, you can't say, oh, well, our church doesn't have a children's ministry, and that's why I can't train my kids. No. It's not my job to raise the spiritual temperature in your home. It is your job to raise the spiritual temperature in your home. It's no one else's job to raise the spiritual temperature in your home. It's your job to raise the spiritual temperature in your home. But you might say, well, we don't have time, Pastor Rob. You don't know. It's just so busy. Oh, no. You know, it's difficult to find time together as a family. Listen. If you have 30 minutes to watch a TV show, if you've got 30 minutes to go on Facebook and troll everybody on Facebook, if you've got 30 minutes to post cat videos on YouTube. Like, whatever it is that you do or watch the videos, sometimes we need to sacrifice from somewhere else. We need to say, well, this is not helping my family spiritually right here. Why don't we reallocate this time and put it right over here where it belongs? I want you, and this is a big one, I want you to make a daily commitment, to doing something that will raise the spiritual temperature of your home. Something. Whether it's getting together at the dinner table right after reading through a chapter of the Bible together. Whether it's watching some sort of Christian material, some sort of Christian teaching. But it's time that we raise the spiritual temperatures of our homes. I mean, what would happen if we did that? What would happen if we, I mean, seriously, what would happen if we did that? What would happen if we had been doing that? What would our lives be like right now if we had been raising the spiritual temperatures of our home? And you're saying, well, Pastor Rob, that's a lot. Are you kidding me? Like once a week, dude, but every day? I don't know, but when I read Deuteronomy, it sounded like this was every day. It sounded like when they wake up, it sounded like when they go to sleep, it sounded like when they sit down, it sounded like when they rise up. That's what I read. Did you read something different than I read? That's what God is saying. He's saying this has got to be consistent. It's time that we stop letting YouTube teach our children. It's time that we stop letting TikTok instruct our children. It's time that we stop letting the TV inform our children. It's time that we became the mothers, the fathers that God has called us to be and say, no, I'm going to take my responsibility before God seriously. You might hate me for it, but I'm taking it seriously. I'm not saying you're going to be difficult with your children. We already talked about that. You're not going to provoke them to anger. We already talked about that. But you are going to be firm. This is something we need to do. If you have adult children, then you say, this is what we're doing in our home. Here's what we want to do. First of all, we're going to take 5 minutes in the next few minutes here. We're going to take 5 minutes. If your family is here, if you, your spouse, your children, or as much as you have of your family, if you're here, when you came in, you got a little index card with a pen. We're gonna take 5 minutes in just a few minutes, and you as a family, you're going to commit to something you're going to do you're gonna do together on a daily basis. You're gonna I'm gonna give you some time. We're gonna get there in just a moment. Don't write anything yet. But you're gonna say, as a family, we are going to, in fact, you wanna write that sentence down. As a family, we are going to, and then finish that sentence. On a daily basis, we will read through a chapter of scripture. We will listen to Pastor Robert's sermon. No, I'm kidding. Again, my own family doesn't wanna do that, but we're gonna do something. We're gonna take time. Prayer matters, and I encourage you to do that too, but this is specifically something that will help us learn the Word of God. Now, I realize that not every family's here, and I say that with a heavy heart, and I'm sure you receive that with a heavy heart as well. What I'd like you to do is, if your family's not here, I'd like you to find someone else that whose family is not here. And I'd like you to do two things. Number one, I'd like you to maybe brainstorm. What are some things that you can do in your home? Maybe others won't participate, but certainly the learning part of it you can do on your own. You don't need that part. You don't need anyone else for that. The living part of it, you don't need anyone else for that. But you're going to say on a daily basis, I will do this on behalf of my family. I can invite them to join me, but I will do this. So you brainstorm along with others near you. But if you also want to take some time in those 5 minutes to pray together, we're going to do that. So here's our 5 minutes. We're going to play a video with some music, and we'll keep that down. And if you're watching online, I encourage you to do the same thing. Write that down somewhere. We're going to take 5 minutes and then come back, okay? Okay.